Hello, it's episode 6 of the How to Travel and Get Paid podcast. I'm Laura Huff, and joining me this time is my friend from the Netherlands, Sjoerd Mays. Now, Sjoerd has completed 2 contracts on board Holland America Line, and he was working in the guest services department as part of a hotel management course that he was studying back home. Now, since completing that course, he is studying another one to do with hotel and tourism, and he hopes to be back on cruise ships soon for another contract. So let's chat to him and find out more. Hi, Sjoerd.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for inviting me.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really, really good. Thanks. We've got a really nice warm day here in England. I know you do as well, don't you, in Holland?
Yeah, definitely. The sun is shining already.
Yeah, really nice and warm. So thank you for joining me on my podcast. So we're talking a little bit about, again, your experience on cruise ships. We both worked together when we were on the NORDAM, which was in Australia and New Zealand. And we obviously went to some amazing places. And we will talk a little bit about those places later on, exactly where where you went as well as I did. But first of all, let's talk a little bit about your job role. So what exactly it is that you did on board. So what was your job role? What did you do, and what sort of things would you perhaps be responsible for in that job role?
So I was working as an international guest relations associate in guest services, and that department was basically responsible for a bunch of activities, actually. Mostly this consisted of handling complaints, answering guest questions, and getting phone calls 24 hours a day. But we were also in charge of the Mariners, which is our loyalty program on board. It was very, very extensive. We also did the lunches, the ceremonies, the invitations, the medals, the pins, etc. But aside from that, we were also handling lost luggage, broken suitcases, the renewal of vows, the ceremony where guests get remarried on board. We had burials at sea. We were collecting and checking the guest visa when we were visiting different countries in one cruise. We were also translating the daily program into different languages. And we were also the first responders to 911 emergency calls when guests called the emergency number or pushed the emergency button in the room. We had to run to the rooms before the medical team arrived. And we were always carrying the AED, the electrical hard shock thing device. So we also had trainings on how to operate those in case of emergencies. Yeah, so a lot of things actually, but mostly complaints, which never stopped.
So obviously you were very much in a guest-facing role. Obviously, I know that clues in the title with guest services. So that's what you're there for. You're there to help the guests. And you've already kind of listed off actually a load of different things that you would do. But what sort of things would you perhaps deal with on a day-to-day basis? You kind of mentioned their guest complaints. You know, unfortunately, you know, we'd hope that there wouldn't be as many. But what sort of things would you be perhaps dealing with on a day-to-day basis? And how would you deal with them?
So the day started off usually with like a short meeting on where we were today, and what port, or if we were at sea, and some special activities or special, you know, announcements. And then a part of our team went behind the phones to answer questions, because it was all like the phone was always ringing. And another part of the team went to the desk, and we were like, you know, assisting the guest with their questions, with complaints. And what we were always doing, like also 24 hours a day, we were like updating our digital complaints, like website, database or whatever, because that was always running. Also the maintenance task, when the toilet was overflowing or not flushing or light was broken, they also called us, and we had to call the assigned department for that. And we always had to check up if it was fixed correctly or not. But basically, there was always like guests, and even on the on the most busy days, I'm sure you always saw the line outside. the line was never stopping. Mostly, answering questions about the rooms or about complaints or about room changes or challenges in the room or whatever. We were always there, and that was the most important task. And aside from those things, we also had to find time to do the above mentioned tasks.
And you already said, obviously, guest services is a 24/7 job role. You know, you're always there. You always need somebody because, you know, obviously guests might need somebody at any kind of point of the day or night. So how would that work in terms of your rota? So what sort of shifts would you perhaps be likely to work? And how would you be rotated? You know, for example, like a night shift, how often would you be perhaps rotated to do that? How did that just work in terms of your shifts?
Yeah, so my working hours were quite different, actually. We were working 10 to 12 hours a day, which means more than 70 hours a week, which was quite intense. But I guess regular on cruise ships, many departments work those hours. During the day, we basically had two shifts. We worked either from 7 to 12 with a break from 12 noon until 6 p.m. So a 6-hour break, which allowed you to go ashore, which was super nice. But then when we came back at 6, we had to work until 11. Or we worked from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m. with 1 hour of break in between. And yeah, there was one guest service employee assigned to the night shift, which I was in my second contract on the Nordem. So you slowly work your way from the day to the night. And then I was a night host for like 2 or 3 months, so you can stick in that schedule a bit longer. So the working hours were quite intense, especially when you're working like 70 or 80 hours with guests yelling and screaming and all the negativity around you. You really need to find some things to be positive about. Yeah.
You say that though, but there were also, you must have also had some really good experience with guests as well, in the sense that, you know, again, you really are kind of their point of call, their point of contact, and you do set up some of those nice things, like you already mentioned, you know, the renewal of vows and things. That's actually a really special thing that people like to do on board. That also requires a lot of programming as well, because the captain's actually kind of directly involved in that as well. So you still must have some perhaps nice guest stories that you can share with us, tell us about.
Yeah, definitely. But the thing is, when guests are happy, or when they're, you know, very satisfied, they are not calling, or they're not dropping by to say hi, thank you, or whatever. They just call when something is wrong, which is very understandable, but that leaves you with all the negative guests. But like you said, the renewal of vows is super fun to be with. It's actually pretty stressful to organize because it's a very special event for those guests. You know, the cruise director is there, the captain is there, there's like rose petals and a cake and a ceremony and a toast and special dinner. So it's super nice to contribute to that happiness of the guests. And also, like, when a guest comes with a huge complaint, it's actually super satisfying to have them leave happy and have them leave, you know, with the solution. Because you're also, not only are you the person who takes the complaint, but you're also the person who offers the solution. And if you do that correctly, that's what they will remember you with. So that's actually the most rewarding part of the job, I guess.
And something as well that you said earlier as well is that one of your job roles is to translate the daily program into different languages. That's actually generally printed in English, which is usually done by our entertainment coordinator. And then, yeah, it's up to you to be able to translate that. So you must have in guest services a really diverse team of people from all sorts of different countries to be able to do that. So what sort of people did you, you know, work with? What sort of places were they from?
Yeah, so that's a very nice question. Actually, the biggest part of the team consists of Filipino team members. But on every ship, there was at least one Dutch person, one Spanish-speaking person, and one German-speaking person, because those were the three, like, international languages that we were offering our services to. So at every ship, there has to be one of those employees' nationalities to translate the daily program. So mostly Filipinos, and then always a Spanish employee from Spain or Latin America, and a German guy or girl, or an Dutch guy or girl. So that was actually very diverse. Yeah, super fun.
Nice. And so you actually worked on Holland America because that was part of a course that you were doing at home. That's now been completed. And I know you're doing something slightly different now as well, because I can see you in your student room, which, as I've already told you, looks really, really lovely. I'll tell you what, it's nicer than the student rooms that I had at uni. So you're definitely really lucky. But why did you need to go on Holland America to complete your course, and how did being on HAL help you to pass it?
So working for Holland America Line was part of my hotel management studies. In my final year, you had to go on an internship or a placement, as they call it here, and you can basically choose where you want it. And since my family is also in ship business, I was very interested in that as well, and I love traveling, and for me it felt like working on a cruise ship is the best way to see as many places as possible in a short time. So when that opportunity was offered, I took it right away. That was part of my graduation year for that course, and I finished it. I'm super happy about it. And I started a new course in hotel management as well, a bit different. But super nice. Working at the Holland America was super incredible. You see so many great places, and I never worked for a company that big, so that gave my professional career a boost as well. It's super interesting to see an international company with so many different departments and so many level of hierarchy. You learn so much from it.
And when you were actually on board as well, would you have to complete coursework still for home? Would you need to get perhaps, managers on board to actually sign off on certain assignments for you? How did that kind of work in terms of being on board in your course?
So I had a few assignments from my school back home, which I basically postponed until the very end. or until my break in between my two contracts. But when you are a new guest services employee on board, you have to complete what's called a skill set, which is like a whole Bible of homework you need to complete while on the job. But it's really helpful because it helps new employees learn super fast and a lot. You need to do like a lot of research on how the casino works, how the port shop ambassador works, how the future cruise consultant works, what every role is in, and what basically all the guidelines for every department are, because guests come to you with questions about everything, like the craziest questions, the weirdest questions, but also questions from departments that you have no idea about, but you need to know the answer. So the skill set was basically kind of homework for new employees, which was a pain in the butt when you're working already so much, but it was also very helpful to learn in a fast way.
I do just have to ask, what was the weirdest question that you probably had, or some of the weirdest things that you perhaps got asked about on board?
Well, weird questions are like when you're sailing somewhere and a guest goes like, hey, what's the lighthouse on the left called? Something like that. And like, how am I supposed to know? Do I look like, Google? But still, they want an answer. So you're going to look it up with the slow internet connection you have. And they also call for the weather, even when you have like a balcony room or something. Even a guest when I was telephone concierge, they also called for condoms once, which was even when complaints, I remember this guest, I still think about it sometimes. We were in Alaska, one of my favorite places, and we were in Glacier Bay, which is like a nature park or whatever. But it's surrounded by mountains, so the internet connection is really bad, and it is already bad if it's not surrounded by mountains. And the woman who called, she was so miserable with her internet connection that she demanded a helicopter to take her away, to get her home, to get her to stable internet. And I was like, I don't know what to do with it. I can't call a helicopter because we're also in a national park, and we're also not able to get the helicopter anyways.
And also, I'm pretty sure helicopters aren't actually allowed to fly over a national park like Glacier Bay.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, so that's crazy.
What do you do in that situation though, because I guess in a way you're supposed to always have an answer for a guest. It's sometimes hard to say I don't know. So what did you actually do in that, like, how would you handle that?
Well, the good thing is when guests call, you can always put them on hold. That's great. That's the best function of telephone concierge. But when guests get really angry or aggravated, they're in a very delicate situation. So it's very important that you deal with that the right way. And usually when you're not sure of anything, you just go to your superior, which is either the guest services lead, the supervisor, the assistant manager, or the manager. Because it's very important that an issue like that gets tackled professionally. And if you're not sure, I would rather get the assistance from someone who knows. And also it kind of puts my responsibility off it and give it to someone else. You know, I was 18 by the time, so I'm not going to take every major issue myself.
Yeah, and as you said, it's always, of course, about being professional. You know, of course, that may have seemed like perhaps a silly out of this world request, but I guess to the guest at the time, that was a very valid request. They perhaps, you know, really did need the internet. But, you know, obviously, I worked with you on board. I know the kind of professionalism that you did have and that all of our staff do have at guest services. You know, it obviously is a really important role. Actually, I would say one of the most important roles on the ship, because you are the ones that deal directly with the guests. So you do need to have that mindset, that professionalism to be able to do that. You already talked as well a little bit about some of the places that you traveled to. And again, we did the Nordam together, which was in Australia, New Zealand. You also did the Eurodam as well. So just tell us about some of the places that you have been to and what's been your favorite.
Yeah. So I started on the Eurodam in Seattle, which is where I met you actually. And then we were in Alaska, which is a great place. And then we went to Hawaii, California, Mexico, and I think one port in Canada as well. And then we met again on the Nordam, where we worked in Australia. We actually embarked on the same day, which was super fun. And then we went to New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, New Caledonia, which were all great places. Yeah, I feel super blessed to got to see so many places in such a short time. I specifically loved Alaska because the nature is just incredible there. But I think Hawaii is my favorite place because the nature there is so surreal and the vibe is super relaxing. It's just too bad it takes 5 sea days to get there.
Yeah, it's a long time. And it was a little bit different for you on board as well, because I say you're underage, but when Holland America, you know, take on employees when they're hiring, because they're an American company, for them, they need to employ people who are 21 and over. But because you did this as part of your university experience, your college experience, you were able to be taken on as like an apprentice, really. So you didn't actually have to meet that requirement of being 21 and over. But again, obviously in the States, it's a bit different because you do have to be 21 to drink and things like that. Obviously, for us in Europe, it's 18. So did that perhaps affect your experience on board in any way? You know, I say not being able to drink. I know it's not all about drinking, but that's also in a way largely part of crew life. But, you know, did it affect your experience in any way being underage? Did you perhaps feel people treated you a bit differently, or did you still feel really quite included with the rest of the crew?
Well, so like you mentioned, drinking age on board and in the US was 21, and I was actually the youngest person on board as an employee. So that was sometimes a bummer because, you know, when you're stressed out from work, you can sometimes really use a drink to help you get through it. But on the other hand, like, there are so many people who are also not drinking. And in addition, I could drink in Canada and Mexico and Australia. So that was something to look forward to. So actually I turned 19 on my first ship, and the drinking age in Canada was 19. So I could look forward to that. And yeah, sometimes it feels a bit like left out, but also it's not the most important thing to drink on board.
But you obviously were still able to get involved with other activities, and you were able to still do, you know, like we had crew bingos, crew raffles and things like that. So you were still largely involved with those. And I know you had quite, you know, a lot of friends on board as well. Were they from other departments?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it was very nice to interact with other departments as well, because, yeah, meeting new people is always so much fun. And especially when they're from new other countries, it's so interesting. And because of that, my experience on board was so awesome. You know, it was super challenging to work at guest services at times, but meeting with other people is it's so great. And you know, lunch breaks with fun people and hanging out after work with fun people and going out into port with some nice people, it just really makes everything worth it.
And how would you like to spend your port time? So when you were able to go outside and go shoreside, what sort of things would you like to get up to? I know that's obviously very different depending on where we are. The ports can be really quite different. You know, some ports you've got everything to do, but some ports you've got really nothing to do. But what would you like to do? Would you perhaps be a person that would like to go on tours and see things? Or did you like to perhaps just, you know, get some friends together, go relax by the beach, get some Wi-Fi? How would you spend your time?
Yeah, like you mentioned, every port is different and it really depends on the location, on what there is to do. Usually when I was working on slow days, I was checking what there was to do in every port. So you can kind of do your research before. But for Alaska, I like hiking there because the scenery and the nature is so great. But in Hawaii, I liked hanging out by the beach. In Mexico, the same. And in Australia and New Zealand, I tried to get on some crew tours. And when I was working night shift, I was actually able to get to Hobbiton, to the Shire, the movie set, which is one of the best places I've been. I know it's the same for you too. It was one of the best days ever. So I was trying to do some tours. I was trying to do some hiking. I was trying to lay by the beach a while. I was just trying to do the best of everything in such a short time. And basically that, yeah.
And what are you up to now? Obviously, we have had coronavirus for the last year, so I know that's kind of pushed people's plans back generally, but you are obviously at uni. I can see that because you're in your student room. But what are you up to now generally in your life? And what are perhaps the plans for the future, perhaps in terms of maybe going back on cruises?
Yeah, so right now I'm in my third year of my hotel management bachelor's, which will take one more year after this. And after that, I might be planning to go back to Holland America Line. I miss sailing and traveling and working so much that I think it's too soon to start a land career already. So if everything goes well and if the whole Corona thing happens a bit smoother from now on and cruise ships get to go back, I plan to spend a few years on ships first. I don't think I'll go back to guest services, but I might, you know, explore some other departments like the culinary department or maybe entertainment department as well. I'm really planning to go back because experience was so great and there are so many great things left to do and so many places left to see, and it's not over yet, I think.
And what would be the ultimate sort of dream for you as well, dream career? Because you have been doing a few courses in hotel management, sort of, you know, travel tourism. Holland America has also helped you achieve some of the things that you need to achieve. And again, obviously, you've just said that you would like to go back on ships as well to get a bit more experience. But what would perhaps be the ultimate goal for you in terms of your career?
That's a great question.
Didn't mean to catch you off guard there. Just
my study guidance counselor is asking me the same question. But I plan to go back to ships for a few years first, or any job that basically allows me to go traveling and working at the same time. So first I would go back to ships until I'm maybe like something like 26, 28, something like that. Maybe to start a land career then, hopefully do something with traveling or hospitality still. But it really depends on how everything develops. I don't think I would like to continue working with guests too much, but maybe something more in back of house or administrative functions like marketing or human resources or sales. So that's my plan for now, but it's all very, very vague and very blurry. I'm still young, so I got plenty of time to figure it out. But first going back to ships, definitely. Hopefully with you.
Hopefully we will meet on a ship again. But if not, you are only really an hour away by plane in Holland. So I will definitely come and see you when my restrictions allow. Well, thank you so much for joining me on my podcast today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me here again.
That's great. It was great to see you, and I'll chat to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. thanks again for joining me for another episode here on the How to Travel and Get Paid podcast. I'd love to hear from you about what you would like to hear next on my next podcast episode. To do that, you can get in touch with me by messaging me on Instagram at Travel and Get Paid podcast. And don't forget to follow me as well for some travel pictures and inspiration. I'll see you again in 2 weeks' time.